You are listening to episode 5 of the Drunk Sex Podcast.
Welcome to Drunk Sex, celebrating the fun, hysterical, messy, and sometimes tragic aspects of sex. You'll hear it all. Stories, tips, tricks, challenges, whatever you're into, we've got you covered. So crack open your favorite beverage and join your host, Jen Wadkey, for the Drunk Sex Podcast.
Hey everyone, thanks for joining me. Episode number 5. Although I've already recorded one podcast today, so I am good and sussy. And I just came out of the bathtub, and that's where I started thinking about shit and decided I need to come record this and pour myself another glass of wine despite having happy houred and had a couple glasses while I recorded the previous podcast. But here I am again. So I'm drinking a shitty red as usual. Whatever. I should probably stop talking about the one that I'm drinking because it's almost always shitty red in my kitchen. But whatever. So what was I thinking about in the tub when I decided that I need to get out and record this podcast? I started thinking about bad sex and I started thinking about sex coaches. I do follow a variety of sex coaches and educators on various social media platforms. And I just got a group email from one of these women and it was really kind of fucked, I guess. You know, to every sex educator and sex coach their own, as they see fit, they should, you know, put their experiences and thoughts and sensibilities and philosophies out into the world, and they will find the audience that needs them. And that really is how it should be, I think, to a large extent. But this, not only this one person, there are a variety of women who do the same thing. And it seems that why are so many sex coaches and educators women? It seems to be unnaturally slanted. Is it that women get into sex education and sex coaching and sexual careers in an attempt to take back power that women traditionally have not had in the sexual realm? I don't know. It's an interesting question, though. So there are a variety of coaches who do this, but this one coach had sent out an email that really got me thinking. And the thing that she had written in this email was how she is great in bed, which I don't fucking know if it's true. I'll take you at your word. I'm never going to fuck her, right? So that's fine. But not only is she great in bed, she said, but she gives her partners the best sex of their lives. And this was in a marketing email. And, you know, I'm sitting in the tub, fucking around on my iPad and going, what? Like, what is that? Like, it's kind of interesting that you need to put that in your marketing email, that you somehow need to either bolster your self-esteem or you need to make clear to your audience that you are the best sex goddess out there. Or like, what is that? Is it a little bit of insecurity? Like, it just strikes me as odd. And so I started thinking about all the other sexuality professionals that I follow. And it seems to me that this is a bit of a theme, that sexuality professionals always seem to talk about the fantastic, amazing, beautiful, glorious sex that they're having, as if that somehow gives them social credence or gives them weight of authority to their audience. And is that true? I'm not sure. I started to question that. And then I started thinking about my own story, which is not that all the time. Specifically, I recently had started telling a few people. I told my boss yesterday, Jesus fuck. I mean, I love my job. People who know me are going to laugh hysterically when they hear that. I often love my job. I sometimes really fucking hate my job. But I have a great team and I have a great boss. And she popped into my office at the end of the day to check in. I'm now in a situation where they have allowed me to work from home a couple days this upcoming year, which is fantastic. So she popped in to check in how that was going. And then we got off on this tangent, as we do, about what was going on in our lives. And I can't remember what conversation led up to this, but I said to her, I was like, I haven't been late since I got back from Japan. And for those of you who have no inclination of what that means, I got back from Japan almost a year ago. I think I flew on like July 17th of 2017. And it's now July. Oh no, it's June. It's still June. So I still have a month, but it's almost a year since I've been home. So I haven't had sex in almost a year. And so I told this to her, and kind of everybody in my life and at work knows my background and that I'm working in sexuality as a right now a side business, but one that I'm trying to build into a full-time career. So they know that about me. And so when I say that, they're like, it was so funny. Her eyes widened and her mouth dropped open. And she's like, what? Like, what? What? She had no place to put that. And that's something that I think sexuality professionals seem to not really talk about so much. They only tell their really, you know, good, great stories. But I think sometimes a lot of learning can come out of our negative experiences, and not necessarily that not having sex for a year is a negative experience, although it kind of is fucking killing me. But that is my truth. That is where I am right now. And, you know, I can justify it. And I feel that I need to justify it. As somebody who works and talks about sex on a regular basis, I feel that I need to justify why I haven't had sex in almost a year. And here I am. I'm going to justify it anyway. It's been that I've just been so crazy busy with a day job that pays me while I try to build this on the side that I've been really quite lazy in terms of going out and meeting people. And I really fucking suck at online dating, because online dating is really shitty. So that's been going on. But like I said, I feel like I'm kind of not allowed to say it aloud. You talk about sex all the time. I work in sex. I should be, you know, having these crazy hot encounters all the time. And this just doesn't happen. It's not happening right now. And our sex lives aren't always perfectly linear and perfectly fulfilling. Like, we all have dry spells and periods. And I am going through one now, despite being a sexuality professional. As most people do, like, this is a common experience. So peace out to all the other people who are not getting laid right now, who would really like to be. So this also started me thinking about bad sex in general. So that's where I'm going to start. I'm going to take you through my bad, crazy sexual experiences chronologically. As I remember them, there's probably going to be a lot of shit I forget, because I started having sex when I was 25, which also, when I tell people, seems to really blow their minds. I know. But actually, in hindsight, that was kind of a good thing. It was kind of a gift, and I don't regret it. At the time, I really hated it. I really regretted it. I thought there was something wrong with me and all of that, but there wasn't. It was just how life worked out for me. And it was really what needed to happen to me to allow me to explore and grow and expand the way that I did. But in the vein of sexuality professionals don't have always this great, glorious, perfect sex life, I'm going to take you through all my fucking crazy experiences. Now I'm thinking back. I've tracked shit on my phone. Just wait, I'm going to pull it up. Oh, I'm a terrible person. So I do have a list on my phone. Oh fuck, it's so funny to go back and look at it, because I didn't make notes. Oh, I made notes. I made notes. But it's funny to look back at them. So number two, my only note was an X, and this was my ex-husband.
Because I'm a terrible person.
Oh, my ex-husband. There wasn't anything specifically wrong with our sex life, other than we didn't really have one as often as I wanted. I think fundamentally we had mismatched libidos, and I was too young to really kind of understand that and know how important it was. And the first couple times we got together, you know, new relationship energy and all of that, like, we did have good sex for, I don't know, maybe 5 or 10 times. And then we got married. Well, that's probably incorrect. We did it for less than a year, and then we got engaged, and then we were engaged for less than a year. So we from meeting to wedding was somewhere between a year and a half, less than two. And it was just a slow death. Like, it was never really super sparky, super connected, super great. And then it just sort of really petered off. He smoked a lot of weed, which I didn't know until later. And he tended to fall asleep on the couch. Like, he would spend all night sleeping on the couch and would come to bed at, like, maybe like something super late, like 5, and then sleep in bed for an hour. And then he had to get up and go to work. And we didn't have sex as often as I wanted. We were maybe, I want to say, like, maybe once a week or something. And I wanted it much more than that. And then, you know, I wrote a bit of that off because it was during the week. And then when the weekend rolled around, though, like, he would sleep on Saturday, like, almost all day. Like, I would be up and out because I knew he wouldn't get out of bed. He typically wouldn't go out of bed until 3 or 4 p.m. on Saturday. And I just, after a time of that, I just went, oh my God, like, why doesn't my husband want to fuck me? Like, that's kind of crazy. I don't understand. And this is not my life that I signed up for. And I had really, actually, probably, I would say maybe 3 or 4 months into the marriage, I sort of started checking out, and I was fantasizing about being single and dating new people and having a new life. So this one wasn't super exciting bad stories. It was just sort of like a slow death, like a slow, boring realization that this was awful and our sex life didn't reflect who I was and who I wanted to be and the connection that I wanted. So eventually we got divorced, and that was absolutely the best thing that I could have done, was separate and divorce from him. So that was man number two. Man number four, it's funny, I didn't put any notes, bud, but holy fuck, I remember this one. So when I was leaving my hometown to move out to Vancouver, I live in Vancouver now, I hooked up with a guy that was selling my house, and I was super professional. It didn't happen until all the papers were signed, but I can't believe I didn't put an X by this. So we finally hooked up in my house, and I noticed that he kept taking the condom off, and I was like, what the fuck, what are you doing? And it happened a couple times, and I had never experienced anything like this before. Like, this is the fourth person I've slept with, so I was like, had nowhere to put this. It was so crazy. And so finally, after, I don't know, 2 or 3 times that he did this, I was like, are you taking the condom off? He's like, well, yeah. I'm like, well, like, what? Like, you have to wear a condom. He's like, no, I can't wear a condom. And I'm like, well, then we're not going to fuck. And so we stopped, and I can't remember what he initially said, but I remember actually when I confronted him, I was on top. And then I don't remember what happened or what the conversation was, but what I do remember was then I was laying on my back. He was standing beside the bed and he was getting dressed. And I was like, oh, okay. I mean, yeah, I told you that if you're not going to wear a condom, we're not going to have sex. So you're choosing to leave? Okay. And I was laying there all confused, and I was like, okay, I guess you're going. And he's like, yeah, I'm going. And then he crouched down by the bed, and he's like, you know, Jen, like, I got to tell you, like, you know, you just can't expect men to wear condoms all the time. Like, nobody's going to want to fuck you if you insist on that. I know. What the fuck, right? So my response was, get the fuck out of my house, which he did. And that was the end of that. It was kind of crazy. Like, that was crazy. Like, it wasn't a violent, bad, like, horrifically bad sex story, but it was just so bizarre. Like, you're choosing to leave instead of wearing a condom, and I don't know why. Like, did you have sensitivity issues whereby you put on a condom and you immediately lost your erection or what? I don't know, but it was weird. It was not good. All right, so I'm scrolling back through my phone, and the next one's quite a bit farther down. Oh, fuck. All right. I'm not going to tell you what the number is now, because God forbid my mom hears about this podcast. I'm going to go to hell. So I put four X's by his name, by the way. So this is a gooder. So this was somebody that I had been having a long text conversation with before we ever hooked up. And the texting was going really fucking good. This guy gave good sext. So we had been having all of these conversations, and we did have a connection from the past. So it wasn't a totally brand new person that I had never, ever met in my life, but it had been a long time since we reconnected. So then we started having these really sexy conversations, and there was talk of, you know, some BDSM stuff and some power exchange and some control. So he would spin all of these stories about these things that he was going to do to me, and they were really good stories. So as it turned out, we wound up spending a weekend together somewhere. But the problem was, once we got there and in person, and for me, as soon as I saw him in person, I was like, oh, I might have made a mistake. Like, I kind of don't feel that in-person chemistry that is kind of required to have a good sexual relationship. But like, the intellectual stimulation was great. You know, we had all these great conversations, and we were having this weekend together where I had committed. Like, I couldn't leave. And he couldn't leave either, right? So we were together for a weekend. So I was like, all right, I'm going to give it my best shot. And it just, it didn't go well. First couple nights didn't go at all. And it just wasn't happening. And so finally on our last night together, I think, finally we were having sex, and I was like, okay, finally, here we are. Okay. And I was able to get myself into the headset of like, this is a physical sensation. I'm enjoying this. It feels nice. Okay. Okay. And then he starts saying, who's my little sub? Which, boing, popped me right out of the pleasure I had really been concentrating on so that I could really enjoy and feel. And so I didn't reply. And I was sure that in all of our conversations along the way, our text conversations, that I had said that I was not verbal in that sense. Like, I like power play, I like power exchange, but I can't say some of those things. They seem too submissive, which isn't an element of my personality. So like, I can never beg, I can never do some of those verbal things, which, like I said, I was sure that I had communicated, but he kept saying, say you're my sub or I'm going to stop. And I'm like, I'm still silent. And granted, I was face down, so he couldn't see my face. And if he did, he probably would have seen like resting bitch face / what the fuck is happening. But he had been telling me all along in these text conversations as well that he was really good at women reading women's reactions, and you know, he would be able to tell what I wanted and what was working and what wasn't. And then in the moment, like, he had no fucking clue that this was utterly and completely and totally taking me out of the moment. So he just kept saying, like, say you're my sub, say you're my sub, say you're my sub, or I'm going to stop. And I'm like, fucking Frozen. Like, I cannot say that. I've never been able to say that. I can't imagine a situation where I wouldn't be able to say that. So I kept being silent. And then, much to my utter fucking shock, he did not read the situation. He actually stopped. And then the boner that we had worked so hard for was completely gone. He rolled over onto his stomach and was like, I don't even know what he said. I don't think he said anything, just sort of flopped down. And I'm laying on my belly and I'm like, are you fucking kidding? Like, did that just happen? So, yeah. And I think the miscommunication here, the errors here, was that we, despite all of our great conversations and feeling really connected when we talked, we left the physical chemistry essentially to chance, because we had committed to spending a weekend together the first time we met in person. So despite doing a lot of the negotiation right, it just didn't work. And I think part of why it didn't work was that there was, I guess, a bit of a misunderstanding. Well, and I suspect, I don't know for a fact, I think some of what went wrong was that I think there was a little bit of him telling me what he thought I wanted to hear. And what I think he thought was really true in terms of what he would be able to do and provide once we, you know, got to this place and we were naked together. But I think the reality was that he might have preferred it if the roles were reversed. So all the talk and all the communication that you do ahead of time isn't going to serve you well unless both parties really do understand their own personal sexuality and how it relates to another person, and is being really truthful in how they communicate that. And I don't think that happened here. And it wasn't a malicious miscommunication. I think it came from a place of wanting to please me and wanting to set up a good weekend. But it seems to me that what his reality was and what he was telling me what it was were two different things. And I really didn't react very well. I wasn't very fluid and accommodating because of all these conversations. I had expectations of what was going to happen and what I wanted to happen and what I thought he wanted to happen. So when that didn't play out, I didn't adjust very well. I didn't adjust at all. So fundamentally, both of us were disappointed and kind of went away, I think, sad and disappointed in the situation, which was unfortunate because he's not a bad guy. He just wasn't the right guy for me in life in general, and specifically in that moment either. So it was unfortunate. And my takeaway is that I need to be honest when I'm communicating what I want and need, and I need to be better at communicating if I'm not getting what I want and need or what I thought was going to happen. And I also really need to put more stock into personal chemistry. Never, ever again will I put myself in a situation where I am alone with somebody for a weekend who I am expecting there to be physical chemistry. But until I know that for sure, because we've met in person, I won't do that to myself again, because a lot of that was my fault. So live and learn. The next one just has one X, and it's kind of boring, but it's still kind of funny, I guess. I hooked up with this guy, and we kind of randomly met on the street where I was in a foreign city, and I was walking around looking at shit, and he happened to see, I was obviously a tourist, so he happened to see that, and he kind of approached me, and we had actually a really nice conversation, and he showed me around a little bit, and then we wound up back at his place, and the sex was just really kind of mediocre, like missionary, nothing spectacular, straightforward, vanilla. And what I found was interesting, though, and what the thing that sticks out was when he was close to coming, he would say, "Don't let me come, don't let me come, don't let me come." And I was laying there and I was like, well, this is a one-off hookup and I don't know what you're talking about and what you want me to do about it. And I haven't come, and I think that's obvious. So I don't know what that means, and I don't know what to do, and I don't know what you want. So I just kind of lay there, and then he kept pumping and saying, don't let me come, don't let me come, until he came. And then I spent the night, because it was really, like I said, I was in a foreign city, so it was really awkward to go home. And he wasn't creepy or crazy or anything like that. But he, almost as soon as he finished, he like went out and he's like, oh, I can't sleep with other people. And then he went and crashed on his couch, which I kind of get, but it was a little bit weird. But yeah, I just kind of odd, kind of boring, not really fun. And I was in that city a few months later, which he knew I was going to be. And so he had emailed and followed up and asked if we could get together again. And I fucking ghosted him because I'm an asshole. So the last personal story I'm going to share was an interesting one, in that it was bad and it was good. I think this one kind of has a happy ending, no pun intended. So I was, again, in a foreign city, and I had arranged a Tinder date with this guy. So we went out for dinner, and then we went to a little bar and we had drinks, and neither of us were intoxicated. There was no alcohol involved. And we were at this bar, and we clearly had both made it clear that we wanted to hook up. So we started talking about the things that we wanted to happen, which is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to have those conversations, like fully clothed in a public place. And if you don't like where they go, then you don't go home with the person, and you can lay everything on the table. So we did that, and I had said no anal. So he just was like, okay, yeah. So then we get back to my place and we get started, and the start was super fun. Like, I was thoroughly enjoying myself. And then he says, can I fuck your ass? And I'm like, wait, what? No. And, you know, so we continue on with what we were doing. And then, you know, he kind of not stops, but he kind of pulls back a little bit, and he's like, oh, I really want to be in your ass. And I'm like, and again, this is a situation where he couldn't see my face. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And I'm like, I told you, like, out before you came to my apartment that wasn't going to happen. So, and then he said it again. And I remember stopping everything I was doing. And I said, I've said no 3 times. I told you that this wasn't going to happen. If you ask me again, you are fucking going home. And he said, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. And so we continued on. We had a great night and it was fun. So this was a situation where the bad sex experience was actually quite empowering, in the sense that I was older and I knew to stick to my guns, and I knew that I didn't want anal, because I don't really want to have anal with a stranger I met a couple hours ago. It's not my thing. It's not what I'm into, you know. And he kept saying, oh, I think you really like it, blah, 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 you know, just try it. And I'm like, you know what? That's not what this is about. Like, I simply said that it was not on the table. I didn't give you any details about my experience or likes or dislikes about that. It's just not what I want right now. And fuck you for thinking that means something about me or about my experiences or about what I like. It was simply that this isn't going to happen tonight. And I made it clear. And so when he kept pushing, and I had the backbone to say, nope, this is what I said. I really meant it. Agree with what I've said or leave. That was a bad sex situation that turned actually quite empowering. Because I stood in my truth and what I needed for myself and what I wanted. And as much as I do really kind of give him shit for pushing something that had been said from the get-go that I didn't want to happen, like, I don't think that that's acceptable. You don't agree to go home with somebody and then proceed to try to talk them into the thing that they said they didn't want to do. Like, that's just fucked up, and it's not cool, and it shouldn't have happened. And I guess you could make the argument, and maybe I should have kicked him out the first time he tried to get me to do that, but But that wasn't where my head was at. And prior to him insisting that I should try it, I was having a good time with what was happening. But, you know, it was an interesting experience. And it was one that I consider really quite educational. So what are the takeaways from this, I guess? One of the things I started to mention earlier about bad sex with the two guys that I talked to previous, where I wasn't actually hurt or in pain or discomfort, I was just bored. I think it's really interesting in that, as I've done some research into that, the how men and women talk about bad sex seems to be really interesting. And when I personally talk about bad sex, I have another one. Why didn't I put an X by his name? I didn't put an X by his name, but this is relevant. Where I started talking about bad sex and how often when men talk about bad sex, they might just mean that they are, you know, bored, she's not really engaged, or they're not really engaged, and it's kind of just maybe vanilla. Not that vanilla sex in and of itself is bad by any means, but it just might not be the exciting, over the top, crazy, orgasmic experience that they want. Whereas often when women talk about bad sex, it can often mean that she is in pain, she's in discomfort. She usually didn't, or almost, if a woman's talking about bad sex, she didn't orgasm. When a man is talking about bad sex, he often still did orgasm. He just maybe wasn't as enthusiastic about the type of sex that led up to that orgasm. So these are very two different perspectives in how we talk about bad sex. And I think it speaks to the gap of what men are taught they are entitled to and what women are taught they are entitled to, and what men and women both think their partners are supposed to provide them. So the bad sex experience I just remembered was I hooked up with this guy, which I expected, as you know, I think we all have these experiences too, where you think that you're going to have this like crazy fucking amazing sex, and then you know, it starts happening and you're like, nope, it's going to be mediocre at best. So that's where I was. And I did not have an orgasm and I tapped out, like I was, you know, not into it anymore. And I think he did come at one point, and then I didn't come. I think he came, we took a break, and then he's kind of started making out with me again a little bit. And I was like, okay. And he wanted penetrative intercourse. And I was like, I'm not. And I was just done. Like, my body was done. I wasn't wet. I wasn't lubricated. It was not going to be pleasant. And I was like, I'm kind of done. I'm not really into it. And he's like, well, can you give me a blowjob? I'm like, I'm kind of done. I'm not really into it. And then he kept sort of asking, and I can't remember the details, if he was already inside me or close to being inside me. And I think so many women have this experience where I was just like, okay, fine. Like, it's easier to just let you go, and then you can come again or come the first time or whatever it is, and not think about it. Don't have to be engaged. Like, I'll just lay there and let you do what you need to do. And so that's what was happening. And my brain was like in other places. Like, I wasn't engaged at all. I wasn't into it. I had expressed that, but he was still like wanted something. Like, he was not really gonna just be like, oh, okay, she's done. I should, you know, either roll over and go to sleep, or I should go home. Like, he was just constantly like wanting something from me. So we're having penetrative sex. I'm thinking about fucking cheese for a dinner party I was having the next day. And then what blew my mind is that he was like, oh, are you close? I'm like, am I fucking close? Like, I told you, and maybe, see, and I'm doing the woman thing, or like, maybe I didn't tell you strongly enough, so maybe it's my fault. But I communicated very clearly that I didn't want to have sex. If you asked me to go to a movie and I was like, oh, you know, I'm kind of not really into it. You would stop asking me to go to a movie, but that doesn't apply to sex. Men just keep fucking asking. So that's what happened. So I agreed. And now he's like, oh, you're going to have an orgasm? And I'm like, no, I'm not fucking having an orgasm. Like, I didn't want to be here. I just spread my legs to kind of shut you up and make you go home. As I said, not an unusual situation for women, but the fact that you are actually legitimately expecting that this is going to be pleasurable for me blows my mind. So again, this is a bad sex experience that was, you know, not violent. It wasn't assaulty or coercive or anything. Well, a little bit coercive maybe. But this was an experience where I would qualify this bad sex as actually being uncomfortable and unpleasant. And I would doubt that he would term it that way. I was clearly, again, I think clearly not into it. I wasn't, you know, doing kind of really anything that he wanted. I was basically just providing a hole. And he still came. So I think that that example really illustrates the difference between how men and women sometimes look at bad sex that I was talking about earlier. So how do you avoid these experiences? Well, I don't know. If you're a sexually active person, I think it's probably inevitable that at some point you're going to have one. What can you do to reduce the chance that you're going to have them? I think communication is key, although it's definitely not always 100% foolproof method because people miscommunicate, things happen in the moment, mistakes happen. But it's a good insulator against having bad sex if you are honest and clear to your partner about what you want and expect and what turns you on, what turns you off. Like, you have to lay that all on the table. If you can't do that, you probably shouldn't be getting naked with somebody. But the converse of that is, how do you make sure that your partner is having good sex and they are not in the situation that I was, I described earlier, you know, just shutting up, opening my legs, sucking up the discomfort? Well, I think you really need to physically be engaged to your partner's reaction. And I don't mean necessarily sexually or penetration, but you need to be watching and looking at them. If, you know, a lot of people have their eyes closed, so that's not always a number one, you know, indicator, but if they're refusing to make eye contact with you the whole time, might be an indicator that they're not so much into you. If they're silent, and this is a little bit gendered, women typically make more noise than men. So, you know, if you're with a female who's absolutely silent, there might be a good chance she's not into it. If your partner is into it, they'll have, you know, it's individual for sure, but they'll have the sex flush, like their neck might be red, their cheeks might be red, nipples might be red, vulva and genitalia and penis will be probably flushed a little bit red. But if you're not 100% sure that you're reading the signs correctly, always just stop and use your words. Are you into this? Does this feel good? And also just, fucking, do you want me to stop? Like, put that to your partner. There's nothing wrong in asking your partner if they want you to stop. And if they say yes, then you fucking stop and you reassess. Use your words. So many of us don't use our words once we get naked, and it can really lead to a lot of misunderstandings, shutting down communication. So really be compassionate to your partner. Be compassionate to yourself too. We all make mistakes, a lot of them innocent, not out of malice. So pay attention to their responses. Speak so that you can hear their words and really judge if they are really having a good time. And if their experience of the sex doesn't match yours, you need to stop and reassess. So there you go. There's a sex educator, sex coach, whatever the hell I am. I don't call myself any of those things. I need a good title. If any of you have a good title, I'd love to hear it. Both of those feel awkward to me, but I should call myself something. I don't know. Guru. Am I a sex guru? Nah, that's not it either. But But yeah, I think it's important to acknowledge that we all have these sexual mishaps and missteps, and, you know, not everything goes smoothly, and that's part of being human, being sexual, and there is nothing wrong with that. But the best we can make out of that is to learn from it, to go forward, and to be better next time. If you want to support me in a small way, I have a lot of erotica for sale on my site, ranging from $1 to $4. And all of that goes directly to me because there is no middleman. So every little bit helps. And that can be found at jenwadke.com/shop. And if you want to make sure to catch the next podcast, get on my mailing list, jenwadke.com, where I will be constantly updating you. The podcast page is drunksexpodcast.com. And as always, thank you so, so much for listening. I appreciate your time, and I hope you enjoyed the podcast. We will see you next time.
This has been the Drunk Sex Podcast with Jen Wadke. For more sex talk, head over to the Jen Wadke Facebook group or check out jenwadke.com. Till next time, happy boozing and sexing.